Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm David Reed, and this is Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek, how are you doing?
I'm okay, thank you.
Good, good. That's out of the way. been up to anything in particular?
Well, I went to Isle of Wight last week, and I was involved in an incident.
What, were the police involved?
No, but the emergency services were.
The RNLI.
No, I was at home and I thought I just fancy relaxing when you go home, and I thought I'd read a book, and I lay back in my bed and
set fire to the house.
Exact moment, the neighbour decided to start angle grinding in his garden. So I thought, this is typical for me. Everywhere I go, I'm haunted by builders. So I walked down to the beach. I found a nice bench and there was no one there. It's a beautiful day. The sun was out. I opened my Kindle. I read two paragraphs and I heard cries for help coming from the beach. So immediately I put my book down. I ran towards the beach and saw an old lady who'd fallen over and a dog jumping around. And I asked if she was alright. She'd slipped and broken her ankle.
Oh dear.
Quite badly, and you could see it was like just the wrong way.
Oh.
And the stupid little pug dog she had was just jumping all over the leg, so, and just, you know, just because I didn't know what to do. So I restrained the dog, and I said, oh, I'll call, asked her if she was okay and all that business, and I thought, I'll call an ambulance. And it's a strange thing, do I call 999 or 111?
What's 111?
111 is a non-emergency service.
Well, if she's broken her ankle and she's sat there, that's an emergency.
Well, I called 111, first of all.
She's fine.
Because I thought 999, it's just I called 111, got put on hold, and she was able to call her daughter.
Right.
On the beach is limited reception. I kept on getting cut off.
Oh, God.
And I said to her, can you tell your daughter to phone an ambulance whilst I was on hold, because I'm ringing for the third time.
Yeah.
And eventually a daughter arrived about 20 minutes later, and some other people, a couple of other people came to sort of help get some. I was holding this really shit jumpy, horrible yappy dog, trying to stop it from jumping on her, and so I couldn't sort of. Other people gave her blankets and coats. And her daughter said, oh, what, have you called an ambulance? And I said, oh, and I thought, I asked you to call the ambulance. So I looked like a right dick, and everyone looked at me like, who's this prick who hasn't even called an ambulance? And then she said, oh, the ambulance people came, and then she gave me the keys to her mum's house. I said, can you just walk the dog back and leave the dog with a complete stranger?
Wow.
And I thought, this is quite strange, because there's about four people here now and I look like the least trustworthy.
Do you think it was a trap?
This
whole thing had been contrived to get you into their house.
Maybe. And I could see the other ladies there looking at me, thinking, well, I definitely wouldn't have let him give him the keys to my house.
Yeah.
So I was wandering around my town, really pissed off, because I just wanted to have a relaxing day and read my book. It's like an hour and a half later, with this pug, with a pink collar and a pink coat, looking like some strange homosexual, dragging his dog, who didn't want to follow me, around trying to find this house. And then the dog started breathing funny, and I thought, oh no. Gonna look really. I don't want the dog dies
before you get to
the house. So I was there, and I was trying to get. I found the house, which I couldn't find. So I asked these people, and they said, is that your dog? I went, no, it's just some lady's dog. And I didn't explain it properly, and they thought, who's this weirdo? It was a terrible afternoon. I was trying to make this horrible pug drink water in this lady's house, and it wouldn't drink it, and I just chucked it in a cage.
Was it a nice house?
Went and really looked round.
Okay, well, that's probably
good. I was worried that the dog was going to die.
Oh, pugs always sound like that, though. They've been bred to not be able to breathe.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. That's my drama. I didn't feel any... All I felt was pissed off. I wanted to read my book.
Well, you were a hero in some ways, but...
No, I didn't. I failed to call the ambulance properly.
Yeah, you did call the wrong number there.
When did you call 111? When did you call 999?
Okay, 999, if, for instance, just, and this is off the top of my head, an elderly person is severely injured...
She wasn't that bad.
Her foot was the wrong way.
Well, not really that bad.
111, I guess. I don't know. I didn't even know about 111, to be honest.
It's to stop people calling 999.
Right.
And clogging it up.
Right. Huh.
Well, I mean, that's not, none of that's film related.
It's not film related. This is Film Fandango, if you haven't already guessed, by Marek's story of pugs. And before we get on to the films that we have seen, which once again this week include a cinema release and something you've recommended, so thank you for that. We should mention that we are sponsored by Her Film Project, and you can find out all about them at herfilmproject.com or follow Her Film Project on Twitter. They help to promote equality in filmmaking. So if you're interested in such things, and I suggest you should be, or if you're trying to get your film made yourself, then why not give them a visit and see what they can do for you.
But you need to have one person of every nationality.
How many countries are there?
And basically Noah's Ark is the most equal.
Those weren't different nationalities, those were different animals, weren't they?
We didn't forget the animal from each continent.
I mean, that's easier. How many continents are there? Six?
You can never have true equality, though, can you?
Is that right? Why?
We just can't.
Why?
Because... you'd have to have lots of people and the film would be rubbish.
What?
You'd have to have one person from every single place in a different nationality. Maybe about a million people in the film.
I think you've got confused between equality and, you know... A perfect sample there.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Equality is equality of opportunity for people, really. But never mind. It's fine. We can talk about that later.
All right.
You have to put a sea lion in your film, basically. Broad strokes. That's what it's about.
Dead or alive.
Dead or alive. Is that what John Bon Jovi was thinking about?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to talk about some films now. After that slightly confusing cul-de-sac of a conversation. You've been to see a film, Merrick.
Yes.
What was it?
I went to see the controversial L.
L-E-double-L-E. Not just the letter L for learner or loser. This is Luc Besson. A Luc Besson film, right?
Paul Verhoeven.
Shit, you're absolutely right. Paul Verhoeven. So is it one of his sex films, or is it one of his sci-fi dystopian violent films?
It is sort of a violent sort of sex film.
Oh, okay.
It is... I mean, Paul Verhoeven films always have that distinct feel of them.
Mm.
That I try to articulate this. The idea of the world is slightly warped and you leave the film always feeling uneasy and he just almost breaks every equilibrium you ever had. Nothing is normal, everything is quite is that how you describe it? I mean, his films, Total Recall, Starship Troopers, RoboCop.
Well, this is what I say, he's got his sci-fi ones and they are some absolute corkers, aren't they? I mean, everything you've just mentioned there is I think excellent. There's some slightly kind of it's all right, like, you know, The Hollow Man, and then he's got his what I'd call sort of sex thrillers. So Basic Instinct is his, Showgirls is his.
Yeah.
Amongst others. Hollow Man is kind of both a sci-fi and a sex thriller, and maybe that's where he went wrong.
Yeah.
But L, you say, is back to sort of violence, sex and violence.
Well, this film's attracted a lot of controversy. Originally, I think he wanted to film in America, but no one would take the lead role. because basically Elle, who is the lead character, is raped in an attack at the very opening of the film. I mean, right. You sort of know that's
you get that or... sense from the trailer. The trailer is incredibly edited as well.
Yes, a great trailer.
It doesn't give anything away, but yeah, you are fascinated by what's about to happen.
And a lot of people have said that. I mean, people are giving it 5-star reviews, like Peter Bradshaw, who I think from The Guardian, who's not my favourite reviewer. And then other people said it's a horrific film that glorifies rape, and it shouldn't have that, or you shouldn't have. It's very complicated, and I think you can never just say it's a film about rape. You know, that's one of the things in it. There's a lot of very complicated, odd things going on in this film, and it's not a sort of standard film. Isabel Huppert plays Elle, so set in France. She is. I mean, she got nominated for an Oscar for this film. It's an incredible performance, and her character is an incredible character who doesn't have the normal reactions to events like being attacked that a normal person would do, because you find out through her history she's got a very dark past where her father did something awful, not to her but in general, and she is quite a singular, brusque, hard-nosed, fascinatingly sort of strong individual. So her reaction is totally different to a normal sort of event, and it's quite it, part of it is sexualized, and there's a sort of a fantasy element of being attacked in this.
Right.
It's not. It's sort of quite graphically violent, and then her reaction to it is. It's not black and white. It's very complicated.
Yes.
And that's what's fascinating about the film, that it doesn't represent the black and white things. And we talked about the O.J. Simpson documentary before, how I sort of equate this to that is in that you suddenly have all over an 8-hour documentary, you have all these stories, and realise everyone's got their own motivations and different character flaws and stuff like that, rather than just one character following one story. There's multiple stories going into it, and this feels like that as well. There's all the characters, none of them are two-dimensional. He's successfully created a film where all the characters are interesting and all flawed, and their reactions are different to a normal person's reactions, just like it is in real life. I think, you know, there's no bad guys and good guys. Everyone thinks that they're the good guy. Anyway, I don't know whether I liked the film. I think it was a mixture of, sort of half thriller and sort of meandered, sort of weird sexual undertones, which I don't really know if I sort of understood what he was trying to do with it.
Okay.
I don't agree that it's a film glorifying, saying that this is acceptable at all.
Well, it sounds like it's a film that's been challenging of received wisdom and portraying an alternative, and that's why it's interesting. It's challenging, but I think you've hit upon a sort of common cultural problem at the moment with the idea that the portrayal of anyone or anything has to be a symbol and an allegory for all of that thing. And you just go, no.
Yes.
Every disabled person in a film isn't representative of our attitudes towards all disability. Every black person in a film isn't, every white man isn't an allegory for all white men in all things. Not everything is an allegory for something else,
I think that's a problem in the way that news is. In order for us to understand things, they have to be simplified into black and white things.
Yes.
And each story has to be the bad guy does this. There's no, it's like the weird thing, isn't it, where you think a lot of I always find it quite strange how you talk about kids who are being abused and they're the victims.
Yes.
And if those kids suddenly become the paedophile, then they're the villain, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And you think, well, where was the story? Where's the in between?
Yes.
You cannot have both. And that's maybe not a good example of it, but this is the story of one person's, her reaction to that event.
And by making it an unexpected reaction, it's a far more interesting story. And presumably, I mean, I'm extrapolating from what you've said, as I have not seen this film, but generally speaking, with art, that is more interesting, and we can then pick apart, you know, our own preconceptions and things we maybe have taken for granted or thought were true. It's far more interesting. It's the purpose of good art, good storytelling. Yeah. You know, rather than just go, well, we all know this to be the case. It is.
Yeah.
Shut up. Blah, la 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 la.
Yeah, I think, and her performance is absolutely brilliant. I mean, playing a sort of really unlikable protagonist.
Right.
And a strong female unlikable protagonist who is also a victim, but you sort of think I should be feeling sympathy with this character, but then she's horrible in other ways, and then it is a very interesting film. There's definitely
a cultural trend as well to see victims as an all-encompassing identity, that as soon as something has been done to you, that is who you are, especially in the context of rape as well.
Yeah.
You know, rape's an obviously incredibly complex and difficult issue, especially for people to talk about from outside of the experience and people to talk about from within it. But there does seem to be a cultural trend in terms of all of us and how we treat rape victims to be, they are a rape victim now, so we must be careful around them, we must do this and we must do that, and in all the time we're trying to be considerate and kind and compassionate and empathetic, we are just treating them as, well, that's all they are to us now, you know.
Yeah, and that's what's fascinating about this film. I don't know if I felt uncomfortable at several points during the film. I don't know if I liked any of the characters in it. But that can be
very illuminating at what you're uncomfortable about.
Yes, I thought it was a very interesting film.
Okay,
well, I think it's a very brave film to make. So I think it's almost as if you want to sort of watch this film and see. I think it's going, and obviously it has in the press. It's had it's a film that will inspire a lot of different reactions.
Yes,
depending on your viewpoint and your own personal history. But I do think it's. It is primarily a story rather than a social comment. I think it's good that Paul Verhoeven's. You know, when you see his name on something,
yeah,
it's not going to be. You're not going to get a boring film.
How many robots are in it?
There are no robots in
it. What? Okay, mutants.
No mutants. I would give it 7 Mareks.
Okay,
I'm still, as you can probably guess, trying to sort of get my head
around. Yeah,
it's a good film to go and watch with someone, and
so you can talk about it after. Yeah.
Yeah,
okay, very interesting. Well, that's L. Now I think it's time for this. Here's an email from Short Film Sunday. They say, "Hi lads, went to check out Beauty and the Beast with my fave kids tonight. I'm a huge fan of the animated version. I adore Jerry Orbach as Lumiere in particular, so was well prepared to be disappointed and pick it apart. Disney's record lately with the likes of Into the Woods and Cinderella isn't fantastic. But it's so good. Honestly, really, really terrific. They did a great job of fleshing out the story a bit, so enough little surprises in addition to the well-known story. Very good casting all round. Great fun to see some folk like Hattie Morahan and Gerard Horan pop up in addition to the main cast. Well worth seeing on the big screen for the action bits. Certainly, there may be bits people will pick on, but we were well entertained. Enough peril that both kids needed a cuddle with me and their mum, and, tiny spoiler, a good enough kiss to make the 5-year-old go, "Eeeh!" out loud. Minor complaint that in a not full theatre, some tall idiot had to sit in front of my niece, oblivious twat. But we managed, and for sure, best fun I've had at a film in a long time. Cheers, Christine." Beauty and the Beast. Yeah, people have been saying it's all right, actually. I've got no real interest. Beauty and the Beast was one that at the time of all of these you know, golden era Disney films passed me by for years. I only saw it last year, I think, for the first time. And it's good. It's a very good musical. But I've no real interest in Emma Watson, and I've no real interest in that. So I haven't sort of wanted to go see it. But you don't really like musicals, though, do you? So that's not...
I don't like musicals. You don't. I don't like action films.
No. So an action musical is your worst film.
But Beast, the Disney version is basically one of the best Disney films, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I mean, there's sort of argument over which it is, but many say Beauty and the Beast. I think it's the only one that got all the awards and stuff. And I think Belle is their most successful Disney princess now.
Ah. What other Disney films do you like?
I quite like The Lion King. Mm-hmm. I quite like... I mean, they're all sort of much of a muchness. Aladdin, I think the music's very good, apart from A Whole New World. Little Mermaid's quite good. Hunchback of Notre Dame. All that era, really. Although the ones that came during the Pixar era, I actually like more. So The Emperor's New Groove and Lilo and Stitch, when they went back to cel-shaded animation and, you know, but smaller budgets and therefore smaller, quirkier, better sense of humour films, really.
I like 101 Dalmatians.
Oh, proper old school golden era stuff. Right. Yeah, yeah. 101 Dalmatians is beautiful. The artwork in some of them is absolutely fantastic. Yeah.
Lovely penmanship.
Lovely penmanship.
Here's a letter. Stuart Lewis. Movies and suede ratings, he writes. Hi, Fandanglers. Marek, David, Buddy. Also, as ever, a cameo from one of our emergency services. And to all Fandanglies, what is the what is official name?
Fandanglers.
Okay. I like a ride, mate. This is back to the letter.
Okay.
Escaping to the countryside, the breeze blowing in our hair. Well, some of us. Hey, Buddy, lovely, isn't it? I don't know what style to read this in. I was in a London coffee shop and overheard a table of, you know the types, cold ankles and choked testicles, brains overheating from too much facial hair, running in on their fixed gear cycles with handlebars so narrow their fingers get no support. I think he's talking about...
hipsters.
Yeah. Anyway, they were saying they started using bum lizards bought on the Silk Road to stave off covert slippings from the bumming man. This is a reference to 3 weeks ago now.
Yeah.
I can't remember what I said.
Bum lizards.
Bum lizards.
Bum lizards were from Kong Skull Island.
And they were... Yeah, okay. Anyway, going back to the letter. This is... I think it's purely about bumming. Anyway, okay. They pop them in their sleeping bags and sleep easy each night. Cheeky bastards. It's a lot of stuff about bumming there. What people want to get... Anyway. Oh, yeah. I sometimes falsely like movies because I have an interest in other things. In this example, cycling. And the movie... The Young Offenders on Netflix. A couple of Irish lads and their jolly jaunts through the lovely Irish countryside on a mission a modern day Goonie would embark on. With a few giggles along the way, I enjoyed the flick. It's a comedy, so they don't torture a couple camping by a lake, as a cover and the title may have you believe. You can relax and watch their escape with the kids. I give it 7 stews. It's because I like bikes, should it be less? So I've read it really badly. Is it because I like bikes should be less? Fellas, are there any films you rate highly because of the subject matter when actually to anyone else they might be a wee bit poo? Love and kisses, Stuart Lewis.
Marley and Me.
Oh, I hate that film.
I really like it. It's about a dog.
American sports. So anything about American sports I like.
Yeah.
So things like Bull Durham I might like more. There's some good Major League.
I quite like them as well if they're good films. Any Given Sunday I like.
Yeah.
The Natural.
Yeah. I mean, the Young Offenders, I know which one he means. I saw on Netflix, it's got two sort of young Irish blokes with their tops off, I think it is.
Right. So you picked it up at the video shop.
I ordered 8 copies. No, I watched and I thought it was going to be about... I thought it was about two thugs.
Yeah.
It looks like a video about...
It's called Young Offenders.
Yeah.
Sounds like a sort of football factory.
That's exactly what I thought it was. I thought, I'm not going to watch that. If Stuart Lewis is right, it's completely different from that.
Yeah.
That's interesting, though. It's one of those films where the covers completely puts you off the actual film.
Yeah.
Because that cover doesn't on Netflix looks nothing like what he's described there.
There's a film called... is it called Scottish Muscle, but Muscle spelled M-U-S-S-E-L, that seems to have been produced and directed by oh, what is her name? Elon Musk's perennial wife, Tallulah Riley.
Okay.
So she wrote, directed and starred in this film. And I haven't seen it. It seems to be a rom-com. It stars Martin Compston, who's also in Line of Duty. But I remember it because it's got the one of the worst photoshopped posters I've seen in recent years. Like, cheap as chips. Like, they've got a mate to do it.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing. When you've spent all of that time making a film and you have such a shit business card for people to maybe see it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a shame. I always think it's a shame. But, no, Tallulah Riley, interestingly enough, as I've just talked about it, is Elon Musk's wife. So this is the girl who was in St. Trinian's and Doctor Who and The Boat That Rocked, I think.
Oh, okay.
And stuff like that. It's a very, very odd partnership. She was on Saturday Kitchen or something and started talking about how we're all living in a virtual reality. And then the hosts were like, all right, yeah.
On Saturday Kitchen?
Yeah, anyway. Interesting thing.
You've seen the film then?
Yeah, I have. Can I just ask on that last letter? Because I'm afraid I couldn't understand what you were on about with the bum lizards. What was he talking about?
I think he was referring to talking
about... Yeah, but what was he talking about was actually happening with the hipsters?
I just skipped that bit because I thought I was goes on
so
too
what
long.
Was he on about?
I'm not giving... Well, we never know.
Oh, that's fine. Fine.
We'll never know.
We will never know. I've seen a film.
Okay.
I've seen a film recommended by one of our listeners, in fact, back onto the old list, which we are ploughing through at a steady pace now. It's a film called The Parallax View. Mm-hmm. Now, this is an old film from the 70s. It was recommended by Martin Schofield way back in 2016. But The Parallax View, for those of you who have not heard of it, is a film starring Warren Beatty. A young Warren Beatty. This is from 1974, and it's part of the director Alan J. Pakula's political thriller trilogy, political paranoia trilogy, I think he called it, with All the President's Men,
Which is great.
And Clute is the other one, which I've not seen.
Yeah.
But The Parallax View... It starts with a political assassination in the Space Needle in Seattle.
I saw about 15 years ago, and I can vaguely remember some bits of
it. And Warren Beatty plays a journalist who is trying to get to the bottom of what happened after his sort of on-and-off girlfriend who was covering the event, who was there, comes to him saying she thinks someone is trying to kill her because... six people who were present in the room when this presidential candidate, I believe, was assassinated, have now since died in dodgy circumstances. Anyway, that's how it begins. And in terms of its story and what, you know, what these kinds of thrillers... There's not much we haven't seen before. You know, shadowy organisations, this goes all the way to the top, blah, 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 what is it? But there's something about this film that I think it really should be celebrated as one of the classics. When
some good set pieces, aren't there, isn't it?
It's not just the cinematography, it's the pure filmmaking is just excellent. Really good. I mean, the term set pieces we usually... used for sort of action or stuff, but these are set pieces in a way where it's in one location and just the ramping up of the tension and the playing of the, you know, who can see what, and they play with the concept of a parallax view very well in the cinematography. Like a parallax view is the idea of one object viewed from two different directions can seem to have different properties. So, for instance, two people looking at a clock from different angles might see that the minute hand is pointed to somewhere other than each other. And that idea is played with a lot in this film.
The minute hand's pointed at my dick!
No, Marek, it's pointing to two.
Oh.
Get your dick out of my clock.
Oh.
Yeah, so... I hadn't actually seen Warren Beatty, a young Warren Beatty, I don't think, in a leading role before. I know him from, like, Dick Tracy and stuff, when he's sort of presumably having a bit of a second renaissance, a bit of a resurgence, you know. But he was really good.
Where is it set? This is it a desert sort of setting?
No, well, it's all over the place. It's all over America, but it starts in Seattle, as I say, and then he's travelling around a bit. So the more sort of desolate, deserty areas of America, I think.
Mm.
But there's a brilliant bit with a dam, and there's a bit in. It's so good, actually. The section in a massive conference hall where there is going to be a political rally, but the entire action takes place during the rehearsal of the school band who are going to be playing. So it's all the tables and all of the paraphernalia set up, but there's nobody in there apart from this school band, and you know, and it's so well shot. And there's also a sequence in the middle where you just go, wow, that is amazing that they bothered doing all of that. Like, I can't really tell you specifics. This is the thing, because it's a thriller where what is the truth is the whole kernel of why you cling to this. But you said you saw it years ago.
Yeah, I saw it years ago. I can't remember it, to be honest. Cause I like the. It's got a nice feel to it, hasn't it? It's got. I like that 70s conspiracy feel.
Yeah,
I like the way the grain of the film looks and all that. I mean, that whether it's I feel nostalgic about it, it's why I like it, but
yeah,
I'm drawn to these films because of the look of them.
It's incredible use of sound as well. Like when suddenly it goes to a very wide shot of action that can really be quite violent, and you only get the POV sound as well. So there's just a scuffle going on, and you can barely hear anything, and it's beautifully done. Beautifully done. It reminded me of Chinatown in a lot of ways. You know, it's set in a different era, but shot of, you know, around that thing. And it's that singular individual obsessed to pursue the truth, even if it means their own destruction. You know, it's that sort of proper conspiracy film.
That's what The Bumming Man should be.
Now, The Bumming Man's been, I think, every genre of films at one point or another.
That's what's so great about it.
Depending on what we've been talking about last.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So what's he trying to get to the bottom of?
Well, that's it. The Bumming Man tries to get to the bottom.
He'll get to the bottom no matter what it takes.
Yeah.
Conspiracy. I think that's the best one we've come up with.
I wonder what it is if that they work out. You can tell someone's entire genetics and the entire what's going to happen to them through the shape of their arsehole.
I mean, that would be an emergent technology, but a powerful one.
Yeah,
but through the shape of it.
The outline of it.
The outline.
You just need to do a brass rubbing of it.
How do you do a brass rubbing of an absence? I mean, it's a space, isn't it? It would just go right up.
Or just the edges.
The edges, so the rim.
Yeah.
A rim rubbing.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you put that into the computer and it can tell your future.
Yes.
I mean,
it's logical. It's obvious.
Oh, it works.
When you think about it.
I mean, you'd need a supercomputer to do that, those kind of sums.
Yeah, but when you hear that theory out loud, I think, oh, it's obvious all along. It's obvious. It's what people have been doing for years.
Yeah.
It's so clear. And I've just got a text from Domino's offering me a Pete deal on pizzas.
Should we get some pizzas?
No, they've been very aggressive lately.
Yeah, they're very expensive, you know. A pizza place has just opened across the road from me, and it's a really good, incredibly tasty 12-inch pizza, £3.
That's really good.
Domino's is £15.
Well, I've had quite a few.
And they give money to pro-life campaigners and stuff. The owner does.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. He's one of them.
So every... At least I know there's not going to be any baby on the pizza then.
No, there will be. That's the thing. He wants the baby to be born.
Oh, right. So
what are we going to do with the excess babies? Plow them into the Domino's machine. They don't care about babies once they're born. They're allowed to live in poverty or die in the streets, but it's the fact they're born is the important thing.
That would be a good conspiracy. A guy rumoured that the head of Domino's is pro-life, so he can put babies onto as toppings on his pizzas.
It's like a Soylent Green kind of thing, yeah. Or just whole babies on top.
Well, no.
Like a lobster.
There'll be no profit margin on that.
No, you're right. I mean, you'd need bigger boxes.
Yeah.
No, you don't want to have two kinds of box.
Well, how many Davies should you give it?
What, your Bumming Man idea or Parallax View? You know, it's... I thought it was really good, and I'd probably watch it again. It deserves to be amongst those 70s thrillers that we celebrate. I truly believe
that. I think it is, though. I think the Parallax View is.
It's not. Well, I read a very brief thing, and I'm afraid I'm completely out of the loop on this. It's not something I was aware of, that Warren Beatty's personal life kind of diminished how much his movies were celebrated. And I don't know what that means. I don't know what he did. I don't know. I don't know what
he was supposed to be an arsehole, wasn't he?
I assume so, but aren't most movie stars assholes at some point in their life?
Yeah, I expect. I'm going to watch it again.
The Bumming Man at least punishes assholes, doesn't he?
Yeah, he gets to the bottom of it.
Gets right to the bottom and finds out they go all the way to the top.
That is a good line.
Thanks. Well, I'm a writer, you know, this is what I do. So if you need me to sort of script doctor your script,
okay,
once
again. Well, you know.
I would just really like to be involved, you know. I've been there since the beginning, and it is your idea.
Okay, well.
Okay, fine. Well, that's it for this week. Please do write to us, filmfandango.com. Follow the links from there. Write us an email and tell us films that you would like to share with the other listeners so we can talk about them and share them. Also, we are looking for the worst film you've ever seen. So even if you can't be bothered to write an entire email, just write in the box the worst film and then write the title, and at least then we can get a whole list of things that people think are absolute dreck. It would be fun. We're going to have a worst films ever episode someday soon. Also, if you'd like to help us keep Film Fandango afloat and running week after week after week, then please click the donate button on filmfandango.com, and everyone who has, thank you very much. Everything you are able to give us is deeply appreciated.
Thank you.
We'll be back next week.
Keep watching the films.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.